Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Companion to The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Manly P. Hall. Illustrated by Howard W. Wooka. DIGITIZEDBYVLAUD. JEREMYP. TARCHER/PENGUIN. A member of Penguin Group, USA, Inc. New York. Preface. In spite of its rather unglamorous title, Lectures on Ancient Philosophy has been continuously in print since 1929, and the new edition is urgently required. It has always been my effort to present the essential principles of philosophy in a manner understandable to all thoughtful persons. While gathering material for my encyclopedic outline, it was necessary to explore many areas of the esoteric traditions. All of the world's beliefs and doctrines were intended to assist individuals in the enrichment of their daily living. There is no religion or philosophy that does not emphasize the improvement of personal conduct. It seemed appropriate, therefore, that these aspects of our research should be made available to all who might benefit from them. Having set forth the symbols of ancient wisdom, it seemed advisable to interpret these symbols as they apply to the enlargement of human understanding and the enrichment of individual character. In this volume, we also include Oriental teachings which assist in clarifying doctrines of worldwide significance. There is ample precedence for this in the records of antiquity, which prove beyond doubt that Eastern truths helped to enrich Western beliefs long before the beginning of the Christian era. There is considerable confusion in matters of terminology. Different teachings have divergent definitions which are apt to prove confusing. Therefore, the definitions of such basic terms: spirit, soul, mind, wisdom, knowledge, insight, and understanding have been enlarged. Unless definitions are mutually acceptable, discussion is comparatively useless. Most of these definitions have been derived from reliable and respected sources of ancient scholarship. We claim no originality, nor are we indebted to mysterious sources for our beliefs. Every effort has been made to perpetuate the knowledge which has descended to us from the sages of earlier times. However, more recent findings are also included where they seem to contribute useful insights in obscure matters. The information set forth in this book should be useful to any person interested in comparative religion. In my earlier days, this was a small, but dedicated group receiving very little public encouragement. In recent years, however, there is much greater interest and emphasis upon the spiritual convictions of Oriental peoples. Perhaps the recognition of Asiatic art has made it desirable to understand the motives which inspired the productions of the sacred symbolism of Asia. A larger literature is also available, and famous museums proudly display collections which a century ago would have been considered as productions of heathenism. The discussion of the moral arithmetic of Pythagoras is a gentle introduction to the philosophic arithmetic of Theon of Smyrna and leads immediately to an inspiring contemplation of universal mysteries. It also helps us to appreciate the debt that is owed to the wisdom of the Greeks and Egyptians, and the mathematical speculations of Oriental sages. There is no way in which to more rapidly release our own internal potentials than through the discovery of the wonders of the universal plan and the parts that each of us must play in the perfection of our world. The discussion of reincarnation in this book should remove all reasonable doubt concerning the benevolence of providence. Rebirth does not go on forever as in a tedium of crime and punishment. It is a constant opportunity to grow through the improvement of character and the gentle service to those in need of our sympathy and insight. A small section of this book is devoted to the solution of world conflicts. The labors of righteousness are not in vain. And it is ordained beyond human control that we shall build a better world than we know today, and that the individual shall unfold from within himself all that is necessary to his citizenship in the divine commonwealth. This book was first written over 50 years ago. Since then, my studies have continued, sustained by a wide variety of constructive experiences. I still firmly believe the basic teachings of this volume and have found no reasons to modify or change the principles contained therein. This new edition, therefore, is not a rewriting, merely a reprinting, and I trust it may continue to serve the purpose for which it was originally intended. Manly P. Hall, Los Angeles, California. August, 1984. There is nothing better than those mice. Terriers by which, from a rough and fierce life, we are polished to gentleness and softened. And in ITIA, as they are called, we have thus known as the beginnings of life. In truth, not only have we received from them the doctrine of living with happiness, but even of dying with a better hope. Cicero. Preface to the first edition. Although complete in itself, this book is primarily designed to complement and amplify the larger volume on symbolical philosophy published last year. During the spring and fall of 1928, I delivered two series of lectures on symbolism and the ancient mysteries, one in San Francisco and the other in Los Angeles, to groups largely composed of subscribers to an encyclopedic outline of Masonic, Kabbalistic, and Rosicrucian symbolical philosophy. These lectures were carefully taken down in shorthand and form the basis of the present work. A considerable portion of my larger book is devoted to the rituals and figures of the Greek mysteries, and this treatise is an effort to clarify the subject of classical pagan metaphysics. In his Miscellanies, published at the beginning of the last century, Thomas Taylor, the eminent Platonist, predicted that the sublime theology which was first obscurely promulgated by Orpheus, Pythagoras, and Plato, and was afterwards perspicuously unfolded by their legitimate disciples, a theology which, though it may be involved in oblivion in barbarous and derided in impious ages, will again flourish for very extended periods through all the infinite revolutions of time. Our civilization has not yet learned to value appreciation for the beautiful as the very foundation of an enduring culture. Unless we respond to the harmonious, the elegant, the symmetrical, and the rhythmic, we are recreant to past good, a menace to present integrity, and an obstacle to future effort. This truth is well made in The Merchant of Venice. The man that hath no music in himself, nor is not moved with concord of sweet sounds, is fit for treasons, stratagems, and spoils. For lack of aesthetics man lives the life of a Caliban, and in death receives the reward of other sights. It is not enough that our codes be true, they must also be beautiful. If learning does not teach us to love, we learn without understanding. We have shackled the Titans and bound the elements to our service. Like proud Bellerophon, we have bridled Pegasus, but already the gadfly of Zeus is at work. By concentrating all our energies upon temporal concerns, we have builded an empire, moving each stone into place at terrific cost. We have heaped up institutions as the pharaohs piled up pyramids, yet our monuments, like those along the Nile, shall become the tombs of their own builders. We have paid a frightful price for our boasted success, for our strength has taught us to hate, our power to kill, and our thought to reason away our souls. We must seek for that sufficient code which guided the wise through every generation. We must again establish those perfect mysteries through which alone, as Plato declared in the Phaedrus, man becomes truly perfect. Ares was burned up by his own flame, and his host of evil spirits consumed with him. Man, tired of vain wrangling and contending for power, longs for those quiet groves where olden sages communed with their familiars. Neoplatonism forms the basis for this exposition. Never in the history of metaphysics, since that great Alexandrian day, has the mind of man contemplated so rationally and lucidly the riddle of abiding destiny. The fruitage of noble endeavor can never die, nor is truth to be lightly cast aside. Unmoved by the calumny of ungrateful ages and the anathemas of a bigoted theology, the Platonic philosophers sit upon their golden thrones, awaiting with philosophic patience the day when an unbelieving world shall comprehend. Emily P. Almy, R.H. All, Los Angeles, California, June 1, 1929. CONTENTS. Chapter 1. THENATURE OFTHE ABSOLUTE. 1. Chapter 2. GOD, the D4 in EFOUNDATION, 25. Chapter 3. Illumined M in D, THE UNIVERSAL SAVIOR, 49. Chapter 4. THINFERIORCREATIONANDITSREGENT, 73. Chapter 5. THANNIHILATIONOFTHE SENSE OFD4ERSID Y, 97. Chapter 6. THEDISCIPL IN ESOFSALVATION, 121. Chapter 7. THEDOCTR IN EOFREDEMPTIONT HRUGI RACE, 145. Chapter 8. THE MISSIO NOFAESTHETICS, 169. Chapter 9. THE CICLE OFNECESSITY, asterisk, 193. Chapter 10. Pagan THEOGONY and COSMOGONY, 217. Chapter 11. Mathematics, THEM Aster Science CE, 241.